recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews. Now, here's Larry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I think we've got a good show for you tonight. We're excited about it.
I think so.
We've got our special guest, Michael White.
Yeah. Special.
He's been on.
Hopefully not short bus special. But like
my fishing buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took him fishing.
Well, I think
he just got cold, all he did.
I'm telling you.
I think what he's doing is leading me into the fact that last show I said, he said, yeah, Michael, I took him fishing Friday and he froze his butt off.
I'm telling you, it was very cold.
Well, Michael, yeah. I'm just going to tell you, I'm smarter than you are because I got that invitation before you did, and I said, Randy, it's too cold.
Y'all sold it really good. I want you to know, this is Monday. We record on Mondays. I went out in 4 hours, caught my limit, 30 crappie.
Well, today was a better day. It was in the 50s.
It was. It's 50 sunshining and no wind.
Uh-huh. I notice he always limits out when no one else is there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one question because he was bragging on, if you'll go, I've got a heater. Let me ask you, where was the heater positioned and did he share that heater with you in any way, shape, or form?
That heater was off. It was not on.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, it was on the back of the boat, I think, pointing toward the motor.
You've known him for months. I've known him for years, and I can just tell you, he can't be trusted.
Yeah. Well, hey, we had fun, though. We did.
All right, one thing. What did you just eat when you walked in the door?
I had crappie, fried crappie. It was great.
There you go.
Yeah.
He had some. We fried it all last night, and then had some leftovers tonight for dinner.
It was solid.
Yeah, and I didn't get invited. But
no, you were late.
Yeah. And last week I wanted steak, and guess who went and bought the steak, got the potatoes. He was glad to cook it.
Right.
But he had been feeding everybody else steak.
Uh-huh.
All I heard was, yeah, so-and-so was over steak. So-and-so was over steak. Yeah. Finally, I went and bought my own dang steak and said, here, cook it. Coming over. So, okay.
Yeah. Was it good?
It was awesome.
I know it.
It really was.
And I ate the rest of it. Let me get me on. I ate the rest of it for lunch. We only have three cameras, folks.
Yeah. We'll get
a fourth one. We have a guest on. That way I can get my camera back.
If you will like and subscribe and help us out, maybe we can monetize
cameras
this
are another
thing.
$1,000.
Yeah, yeah, we can buy one more because we've only invested,
views.
Play them horses. Let's run.
Oh, man. Well, Michael, last time he was on, he was running for state representative.
Right. Wow. Yeah, it feels like a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, you may be happy that you maybe didn't get there. I don't know.
So
we'll let you cover that a little bit. But there was something new that came up. You are now the new election commissioner for Pulaski County.
That's correct, yes.
Wow.
And some of the things that I've read about, one article said, and I quote, "The 2024 Pulaski County election integrity debacle."
Yes.
Now, that sounds kind of serious. Sounds like a pretty big story.
Right. It is serious.
So we're going to let you run with it. So how did we get from there to here and where are we going?
Everything in between. So as you know, in Arkansas, we have 14 days of early voting.
Okay.
And which to me seems excessive, but in my opinion, it's neither here nor there. That's something the legislature can take up. And if you also notice, you can vote anywhere in your home county at any one of the polling sites during those 14 days. You have no assigned place to go vote.
Okay.
So if you work, for instance, in Maumelle, but you live here in West Little Rock, you can vote over in Maumelle, right?
Okay.
So when you go to the polling site during these 14 days, how does the computer know what ballot Larry's supposed to get? How does it know who you're voting on for state representative, who you're voting on for city ward director, all the local little races that only matter to you? Well, the way that works is there's a system called the poll book.
Okay.
It's not a book anymore. It's electronic. It's on Microsoft Surface tablets. We call them COTS, commercial off-the-shelf solutions.
All right.
And they're owned and operated by the same company that makes the election machines.
Oh, boy.
And these are two systems that talk to each other.
You got my attention.
Okay, good. So you walk into the polling place. Again, let's say you live here in West Little Rock, but you work in Maumelle. You walk into Maumelle during early voting. You say, hey, I'm here to vote. And they go, what's your name? Give me your ID, all that kind of stuff. And
they did that to me.
And they,
Yep.
And they will cue the machine up with what's supposed to be your ballot.
Okay.
And so, again, everyone's going to vote the same top of the ticket. You're going to vote on, president, all that kind of stuff. But, again, when it gets down to the smaller races, you're going to have specific ones you vote on and ones that you're not going to vote on. And the poll book determines which ballot you get because the poll book has information about what precinct you reside in, what ballot style you're supposed to get that ties to the precinct, it was determined that during the 2024 election, during that early voting period, in fact, the first day of early voting, that one of the employees at the county clerk's office, which is who maintains that system, was logging in and changing that information on voters.
Look out, folks. We have hanging chads in Arkansas.
That's it. Yeah. I know.
It's even worse. Yeah, it's even worse than hanging chads, because hanging chads, we had a paper, right?
Yeah.
We could go back and look at it.
Yeah, right.
We don't have that. What's interesting about this situation is the county clerk's own internal systems could not catch it. On day one of early voting, a Democrat of all people wanted to vote for somebody, and that person wasn't on their ballot and was supposed to be. And this person's fairly well politically connected. And so they just made a lot of noise and kept saying, no, this doesn't, none of the excuses you're giving me for why I didn't get the correct ballot make any sense, right? So long story short, they investigate, the county clerk's office does, they go and look at that one file, okay, that one file that that voter who made the complaint is a part of, and they go, wow, we got a problem. This lady changed this stuff. And so we're going to have to let her go. So they let that lady go. Now, okay, she's possibly facing felony charges. And I want to go back to a very key point here. The county clerk's own internal systems could not catch this. They were blind to it.
Okay.
It required some external stimulus for them to go look at one file. There are literally hundreds of thousands of those street files in Pulaski County. They didn't look at a single other one.
Hmm.
None.
Wow.
So the question is, at that point in time, and the question that I raised to the election commission, and I had, I think around that, the night of the certification, I filed a formal complaint in person, and probably 20 or 30 voters joined me. And the complaint simply said, hey, look, you need to look at the other files first. You might want to check and make sure that everything is above board, right? Because what you said was impossible is possible. What you said couldn't happen did happen. And what you're saying now you couldn't see, you can see all of it, right? So it's either one or the other. And we have time. We have time before you certify the election. And there are three election commissioners on every county board, two from the main party of the state, which is currently the Republican Party, and one from the minority party. So you need two votes to have a majority. Well, one Republican said, I'm not certifying this election. This rises to a significant enough level of a security flaw, and it's proven by your own admission. We know this happened. We need to investigate this before we can say this race is good, because that's what certification means, right?
Right.
We get that word from the Latin certus, where certain comes from. It's to hold something up as true. And so, you know, these people have taken an oath to the Arkansas Constitution and the American Constitution, and they go, hey, yeah, we're going to rubber stamp bad behavior. And so that's what happened, is one Republican joined the Democrat and they certified the election. And so we had a certified election. And then after all of this goes through, I joined the Republican Party and I was voted into his job. So that gentleman's gone. And now I am one of the three election commissioners.
So we certified the corruption.
We certified the corruption. That's exactly correct. And again, I want to be very clear. The question here is just how much. And it could be it was only one file. And that could be the answer. But nobody was willing to look. And that to me is a significant problem. Right? I mean, that right there is the whole thing, right?
But that would be fairly far-fetched for only one to be wrong. You said they had an employee that was in changing things.
This is a long-time employee from what I've gathered who's been at the county clerk's office something like 30 years.
Okay.
This is somebody who knows the systems well. And this is something else the listeners, I think, need to understand. We live in a red state, clearly. We have a supermajority Republican legislature. We have a Republican governor. All of the heads of all the state agencies are Republicans. But the administrative state, the people who file the paperwork, the people who push the stuff, they're all in Little Rock, and most of them are not Republicans.
Is that what they call the deep state?
That's what they call the deep state. Arkansas has its own deep state. It's like it's kind of the shallow deep, maybe mid-deep state. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, that last election, I live in West Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
My wife works at the clinic in Maumelle. I happen to be in Maumelle, and so I voted in Maumelle because you can vote anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But when I voted, I went in there because I knew I wanted to vote for you, and you weren't in Maumelle district.
That's right.
So they gave me my ballot, and you weren't on there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked. It took them forever, 20, 30 minutes to finally get the right thing. They were calling everybody out, you know, and if I was not persistent, I would have just taken it and said, forget it, here, let me vote for my
whoever top, you handed
top mains, and if you're not on there, well, I don't guess you're on there.
That's
you know?
Exactly,
and yeah. That's what happened to me.
Yeah, and it happened to several. It happened to two other volunteers on our campaign too. So it happened to a lot of people, and yeah, it's a problem.
Well, and I'm kind of afraid that you know we talked about this in previous shows that some people only care about voting for the top ticket.
That's right.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, in all the other offices, they don't even care.
Right.
But yet what we really should be doing is caring more about
bottom
from
up.
The bottom up,
that's
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. So, Okay, so you changed parties.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I guess I'll say congratulations.
Thank you. I might be too important now for this podcast, now that I'm a Republican. Yeah. I might need to...
Well, we've been outgrown by better.
Oh, well. Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the old saying, I've been thrown out of better places than this. So,
there you go.
Know, do what you want,
yeah,
man.
Do whatever.
Okay, so that's how we got to here.
That's right. Yes.
So you had to change parties because apparently, you know, and I said this on one of the podcasts,
sure.
Donald Trump on Joe Rogan's podcast said, he was amazed at how strong America's two-party system
really is. It really is.
Because honestly, I had thoughts of grandeur, I guess is what you would say, is, you know, he would get into office and then he would step up and say, okay, I'm starting the Patriot Party and screw the Republicans and all of us switch over to it and, oh, you know, hallelujah, here we go.
Yeah.
But he was very clear on that podcast. America is a two-party system, and it's never going to change.
It is.
He doesn't
and
think.
It is so entrenched, and you have, again, hundreds of years of donor list and pedigree and entrenched systems. Yes, it just is, and that's what it is. We can talk all day about what it should be or should not be, but we live in reality, and it is what it is.
Yeah, and in another state, there was some lady who, for some reason, somehow, went in and saw her voting history.
Okay. All right.
And said, I never voted for that person. I never voted for this. That's not the way I voted. And recognized that through the years, her voting history, the record was not correct.
Wow.
Is there a way to do that in the state of Arkansas?
So currently, no, because we want ballots to be anonymous. And that's really kind of the problem here, is we're dealing with a very difficult situation where we want to protect voter anonymity, but we also want to make sure that the count is correct, right? We want to make sure that we know that Larry voted and his vote is how he voted. But we also don't want people to, you know, be able to Google you or a data breach and say how you voted, right?
Right.
Now, there's ways to do that. And the way to do that, in my opinion, is we have a number of ballot styles and we have a number of the address corrected poll book. And so you line those two things up. It's really, really simple. So,
okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm listening.
Oh, I didn't know. I saw some off-camera stuff going on. I didn't know if there was...
I was asleep at the switcher. I was listening to you.
He was listening and you weren't on camera.
I was like, what is going on
here? You know, I'm having to do all this at the same time.
And so,
sorry, folks.
You know, if you ask me my personal belief about this, if Michael could see what he'd want to see, any system that gets us to as secure as possible, I think we're always going to have something that we have to deal with. There's always going to be someone trying to do something, right? I am a big fan of single day voting and paper ballots. I think that would probably be a really good way to cordon this off, and we could check those. We'd have a physical record.
You talking maybe national holiday?
I think that might be
a
way to do
good.
It. Yeah. I mean, I think that 14 days of early voting, while I understand why we've done it, we do it because we want people to participate. And let's face it, people got busy lives.
I like that.
Yeah. But it's a lot. Wow. It's a lot of, there's 14 nights where those machines are unattended. It is 14 days of possible switcheroos at the county clerk's office. It just injects a lot of uncertainty to something we want to be absolutely certain of.
14 days, let me just assign it a word, and that is ridiculous.
It's a lot of days.
I mean, I shouldn't have to have 14 days to go and vote.
Yeah.
Okay? And everybody's got a calendar. Everybody's got a computer. Everybody's got a smartphone. You know, election day is that day. Don't plan anything else. Don't plan a business trip to Louisiana. Stay in and take care of things.
Yeah.
So I think maybe a national holiday for that day would be probably pretty good.
I think so too. And we'll see. And again, these are legislative questions, right? You know, my job as elections commissioner is to work within the law as it is. It's not to change anything. I'm not an interpreter. My job is to perform my duties. And I think that one of those is, like you said, just making sure that things are within the letter of the law as they're supposed to be. But yes, personally speaking, outside of my election commissioner opinion would be, hey, one single day, national holiday, paper ballots, and that's it.
I like election. I like early election.
You though. Do?
Yeah, yeah, y'all go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I do too.
Sorry, Larry.
No, no, no. I do too. Right. Because obviously, I went and voted early.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like to have the ability to, hey, I've got 14 days now. I can go, okay, I didn't make it today. I know I can go tomorrow and it won't be the big lines and all that.
But so every election poll place, how many do we have in Pulaski County?
You a have lot. Any idea? I don't have the exact number, but it's a lot.
50?
More than that. And okay. There's...
But all those aren't open for the early election.
Well, a lot of those are open for early election. There's,
all the churches libraries. And all that, the libraries.
Yeah, the libraries, all those are open.
Yeah.
And then, yes. And then, so when we get to voting day, you have the voting centers, which are open, which are the churches and everything else. Yeah. So it does slip over, right? And of course, you have the county building that's open.
But to Randy's point, early voting is just the libraries, correct?
I want to say that might be 16 or 17 locations in the county. Right. I could be wrong, yeah.
So would we say, okay, let's keep early voting, but we're putting armed guards in there, and we're going to have all of the machines shut down to where they're not connected to internet, you can't get into them.
Exactly.
To hack them, something.
Do something.
Okay.
It's worth having a security guard there, a hired person, or maybe, you know, two or three people there.
Because I've got to tell you, I've talked to some well-educated, professional young people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Master's degree. They're you know, not quite as bright as you are, but they're pretty bright, okay?
All right.
So, even though we're too good for us. I won't forget that, Randy. I made a note down here, trust me.
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking about him. So, their opinion is why should I go vote? Because my vote doesn't really matter.
Right. You have a lot of disaffected people, and I can understand why they feel that way.
Sure.
Think about it. If you live in California and you are a conservative voter, you probably feel like your voice doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter.
That's
in California.
Right.
I'm going to side with them.
Yeah.
What did it take them 14 days after the election to count the dang ballots? And how many House seats and Senate seats did they actually steal?
Right.
And every one of them that they had to count,
mm-hmm.
what party did they go to?
You know.
The big donkey party.
We know where. What's interesting about the 2024 election is, while Trump won in the landslide, clearly, you had a lot of local and state races that went the opposite way of where people thought they were supposed to go. Now, I'm just saying this might be a coincidence. I believe there's 32 states that use the same system that we do here in Arkansas. I know for certain that in Dallas County, Texas, there was 4,000 voters that were moved into a different precinct, and they admit it. They voted in a race they weren't supposed to, and they didn't even care. They said, we're sorry. We don't think it made a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's sort of the arrogance you're playing with this sort of this administrative level, which is we're just going to do as we say, not what's in the best interest of the people or the process. And I think that at least in Pulaski County, has a good chance of stopping for the next couple of years.
Well, you know, my daughter is coming up on 40 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting ready to turn 40. My son-in-law just did a couple of weeks ago. And I still, Randy, I still get stuff from the Arkansas voting people at my home.
At your home.
Under
right.
her name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My mother passed away 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't remember those things.
Right.
She's been gone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the election that Biden and Hussein actually stole, 2020,
mm-hmm.
I actually held her
absentee ballot
in my hand.
Yes. Yes.
And I fought with myself because I wanted to fill it out.
It was a trap.
It really was. Yeah. I sat at my desk sweating. I mean,
profusely. You fill it out and send it in for Democrat? That's what you did.
If they did that, you'd be fine.
That's what you did. Call voter fraud.
They'll let it go.
Well, I've already told my family I might die, but don't let me vote Democrat.
I mean, this is where if you really understand how people are registered, how the record keeping happens, what happens when you move, what happens when you move out of state, what happens when you move inside a county, and how those systems talk to each other, and then how things work during voting and after voting specifically, you would never count anything else this way. I'll put it that way. You wouldn't count your money this way.
Right.
You would not. You would never in a million years.
Right.
And the system feels like, and where I'm coming from, is that's intentional. That they want to be able to have this nebulosity and sort of this ability to move things. There is the Board of Election Integrity in Arkansas, which audits elections. They audited Pulaski County, I want to say, 2 years ago for the 2022 election. Do you know what election they audited? The governor's race. Well, the governor's on every ballot in the county.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So 300,000 people voted. There's going to be 300,000 ballots.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But there's not everybody gets Ward 1 city director on their ballot.
Right.
That's the stuff that needs to be audited. Now, of course, as commissioner, I can't do that. That's outside my purview.
What are you going to do then?
I am going to do my job. There's several steps. The law lays out several steps along the way of what a commissioner's obligations are to the people of the county. Certifying the machines can appropriately count things, certifying the election after the count has happened, signing off on the hiring of poll workers at certain places, the polling locations, those sort of things. All along the way, I personally feel that we have places where we can institute checks and balances as commissioners to make sure that stuff is happening the right way. I'm going to be very careful about what I say, right? Obviously, publicly about this, because it's important to me that people understand. I might have a personal bias. Of course, everybody has a personal bias. There's somebody you wanted to win an election. There's somebody you wanted to win an election.
Right.
It would be foolish for someone to believe that I don't have a personal bias in an election, right? But bigger than my personal bias for a single candidate, it's that the process works. Because if we don't have a secure process, we've lost everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right behind you, there's that thing, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
Right.
This republic hinges on valid elections.
Absolutely.
And if we can't have that, we have nothing. We've lost everything.
Right.
So if that means that every single year, somebody that I don't want to win wins, but that they're counting correctly, that's what's important to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me clear up one thing. No, Randy, I did not vote with my mom's absentee ballot.
You did. Geraldine didn't vote for Democrat.
She did not vote at all. And I literally took it. My shredder is right behind my desk. And after I finally wrestled with my integrity to the point to where I said, okay, I'm not going to do it. I secured my integrity by running it through the shredder.
There you go.
So that I went to bed that night, and there's no way I could get up in the middle of the night going, "Oh, screw it! I'm filling that sucker out."
Where they say character is what you do when no one's looking.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Good for you.
One last thing.
Sure.
Is and maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but I will anyway.
Go ahead.
You know, I think that some people, when you started filing some things and saying, "Hey, there's some election frauds," I think you probably got picked on in social media saying, you just got an axe to grind because you lost your election.
Sure, yeah. There were several people that came out of the woodwork that I've never heard or seen before.
Yeah.
Democrats just, you're wasting our time, you're wasting our money.
Right.
And yes, there was. That happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I want to be very clear. I'm pretty sure I lost my election, right? This is an uphill battle. There's a 97% incumbent reelection rate in this country for a reason. People tend to vote for the incumbent. They have more money. They got more of this. They got more of that. But what's more important to me is the fact that there's equal protection under the law for everybody in this county. And if you're denied the right to vote on something that you're supposed to be able to vote on, even if you don't know that you're supposed to vote on it, that's not required.
Right.
Equal protection of the law doesn't require that you know everything.
Yeah.
That's for the people over here.
But now, am I I don't mind losing.
Sure.
As long as I lost in a fair way.
I want the score to be correct.
Absolutely.
Right? And we noticed there were some things that we noticed during the election that made some eyebrows raise. Mm-hmm. You know, during the 14 days of early voting, again, things like with Randy, we had some other people that they went to places and they were like, they got a different ballot. And it happened so many times, it was kind of strange.
Right.
Right. On election day specifically, we had several people at one polling location here in West Little Rock that got different ballots. Several of them were required to fill out provisional ballots, even though you can look at where their address is and you can see, hey, but that poll book information had them creating that ballot.
Okay.
And so I just think that the truth is not scared of scrutiny.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And we should be willing to put this through its paces. We should fire test every single election. Ideally, we should be able to hand count every single one of them again 2-3 times if we could.
Exactly.
And if we find one error, we find who did it, why they did it, was there, you know, malicious intent, and if there was, prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law.
Now, the lady that won in the race that you ran,
sure.
Okay, yeah. She was not an incumbent, correct?
She was an incumbent.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, she was.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was an incumbent.
Mm-hmm. But I partially blame this on the Republican Party because they were too ignorant to even put a candidate in place.
Didn't run anybody. Yeah.
Okay.
What's funny is I was asked—
Remember that, Randy?
Yeah. I was asked this at a Republican meeting. Someone said, well, why'd you run as a libertarian in 2024? I said, because y'all didn't run anybody.
Yeah.
I was like, that's
exactly.
Why. I filed 3 months after filing deadlines ended. There was, the election law allows for third-party candidates, as written right now, during presidential election years to file later than the major parties. And so when I saw nobody was running, I mean, it really was 2 months of basically arguing with myself, praying, figuring out what I wanted to do. But there was nobody running against this person. Hmm. And my 20-year-old daughter, she either had a choice to vote for a Democrat who's for abortion, or she had, or it would be nothing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give her something she could vote for. And so that's what we ended up doing. And it was fun. We had a lot of fun. I got to meet you guys, obviously.
So once again, the Republicans laid down and they just gave up and didn't run anybody. Yeah. And you jumped in and at least ran. So, hey, you got your name out there. So you got a new position. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to a commercial break and then we're going to come back. And I've got some more questions and I'm sure you do as well, Randy.
Sounds good.
All right.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Home-style cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
All right, folks, we're back. Well, we figured out, apparently we heard the story of the debacle.
All right.
And how did we get here? So now that we're here, we need to figure out what a commissioner actually does.
All right, me too. I need to figure it out too.
I bet.
So, you got the paper over there? Yeah.
And by the way, I went to the state of Mississippi, has this website that about their county commissioners, and I was going to print it out because there's a lot of great information, and I'm gonna send you the link to
Please
it
do.
And let you look at it. I don't know. I couldn't find anything on Arkansas.
Of course not.
My gosh, they had everything down to where we can go look at the poll and we can see who Randy is. We can judge that against the prisoner stuff and make sure he's not a prisoner and make sure, you know, all these different things. And if Randy, if you don't line up, then they can take you off and they'll notify you.
I know it.
Yep. You know, they'll just say, hey, you're no longer a registered voter and here's why.
Here's why. Yeah.
And you've got so much time to, you know, come up and do stuff. So anyway, well, I did read here in, I think this was maybe even on your ex show, it says that there's three things you'll do is oversee the selection and administration of polling places, supervise poll workers, ensure the integrity of the ballot counting process. Well, let's just take number one, oversee the selection and administration of polling places.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
So if you've followed any elections in Pulaski County over the past, I think, 8 years, every election we've had some emergency poll location change at like the last minute where something was going to be open and that thing's not now going to be open. It's going to be this other thing. You know, there's a staff of six that work under the three commissioners. And they do a lot of the administrative work. And because, I mean, we have 300,000 people. I mean, there's a lot of people in this county. And I think that there might just be a little lack of some foresight of some of these things. I can't promise perfection of it, but I really would like to see no last minute changes of polling locations. That just screams to me that that could create a problem, right?
Didn't that happen in another state? They ran out of water or sewage?
And these things do happen. Yeah. I mean, think about it. In a country this big, something's going to happen in those places. And it's really how you react to those problems, right? But I think when it comes to at least selecting these beforehand, we could probably do some vetting to make sure that to minimize the chances of having some last minute changes, right?
Could we, or maybe me, be tiptoeing around the idea that maybe those emergencies happen in highly Republican places?
They could.
To where
they could, you know, yeah.
I mean, not that I've got another conspiracy theory, but write that one down, Randy.
Can you tiptoe? They could. No, you can tiptoe, Larry.
I kind of just stomped through that, didn't I? Well, okay. So polling places. So we're going to figure out where to have them.
Simple, pretty basic. Right. Yeah.
So here's your second thought is to supervise poll workers.
That's one of the requirements. Yeah.
How are the poll workers even selected?
You volunteer. You request to be a poll worker, and then you fill out an application, and then you are vetted against certain requirements. Again, of course, not being a felon, this kind of thing, that kind of thing. We need more poll workers. We need more poll workers in this county. Every county needs more poll workers.
Are you volunteering, Randy?
Yeah, I volunteer.
And we need poll workers.
Remember that.
We have, again, if you live in a place and you have a certain political ideology,
okay. You
and your friends should try to be poll workers because that ensures fairness. If we have 10 people working at a poll, ideally you've got 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats, right? Ideally you have a balance. So everyone's kind of watching everybody. I think the mix in this county for a while has been a little bit more one-sided.
Okay.
And, you know, In the pursuit of integrity and fairness, I don't think that looks very good, personally. Yeah. So we need more poll workers, and we need to work. The Republican Party needs to do a better job, too, of getting Republican poll workers in these counties.
I got to be honest with you, and yeah. I think this from the RNC on down to every state. The Republican Party, they do not know how to focus and become a team. And, I mean— Mm-mm. You know, the Democrats are very good at giving them their marching orders,
right.
and here's your buzzwords.
There's unification.
You know,
yeah.
And they may hate one another, but they still, you know, go out there and get the job done. And us Republicans are standing around going, we just was in hopes that it would happen.
I've said it before, you know, being a libertarian and going to a few libertarian meetings, they were never as raucous as some of the Republican meetings I've been to. There is a lot of passion and impassioned people, and they're fighting over things that I personally believe are wind addressing when it comes to, we have an enemy at the gates, right?
Oh, yeah.
That is completely unified.
Yeah.
And I think that there's not a lot of cohesion.
Now, when you say that the county commissioner vets the poll workers?
Their final signature, yeah.
So basically, you fill out an application, and I'm going to guess if you can fog a mirror, they're going to say, here,
you can fog a mirror and you meet the minimum requirements, and you're not a felon. And because, again, we kind of have a shortage of them. This is another problem personally, and this is, again, for the legislature to figure out. If they say tomorrow, hey, there's 30 days of early voting, Michael will go make 30 days of early voting happen, obviously. But part of the problem of having 14 days is we have this big window of time to fill with people, and we have not as many people as we need. So that would be a benefit of a shorter voting window, is you could take the same number of people and you would have a more, adequate human resource applicability to this problem than we have right now. Yeah.
Well,
that's why some of the wait lines at some of these polling places were so long. You have just one person checking in, you got one, you know, poll judge, and you might have, 1,000 people voting that day. That can make things pretty slow.
You know, we had Martha Cothran on, and she told her story. She was the history teacher out here at Joe T.
Okay.
And Mike Huckabee kind of made her famous, if you will, for her story about what she did in her classroom. And it was a whole podcast that we did. And I believe that was our Christmas Day show.
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said that she would like to, because I kind of dropped the bomb on her and said, why don't you run for school board.
Yeah.
She said, well, I've really given it some serious consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And she really said that she was sincere with that. But then she said, Larry, I work the polls. And I love working the polls so much, and I don't think they'd let me be a poll worker and run for office.
That's right. You cannot be. Yeah.
So I said, well, you've got a choice. You know, it's one day every 2 years, or, do you want to go and be a – because, Randy and I have talked, a lot offline at dinner and on the boat and different things.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking and saying, hey, why don't the school teachers – why don't they run for school board, instead of some of these crazy people that I don't know where we dig them up from, but they get in power and then they empower themselves and, just pure corruption. And so why don't we do things like that? And I'm afraid that Americans, we do stand back. And a lot of people that, let's just say retirees, okay, if you're retired or semi-retired, you could give time.
That's right.
to the system mm-hmm. and go and work the polls and do different things. There's probably retired attorneys and bankers mm-hmm. right. and business people.
Ex-military.
Ex-military. Yeah. That would be wonderful, but we need to get out there and give them these ideas.
Human action.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And get involved. I think yeah. that's where America is coming to the place of, we like to stand back and moan and groan and all of that about this stuff, but hey.
Yeah, you are speaking my language right now.
Well, you know.
I think a lot of people are looking for a hero.
Yeah.
And the reason they want a hero is because it doesn't require anything of you.
Yeah.
You can just root for somebody, yeah. maybe give them a little bit of money, and yeah. they're going to go fix it.
Exactly.
The truth is the garden is very big.
Yes.
It needs a lot of tending, uh-huh. and we need people that will come in and tend to the part of the garden they can touch.
Yes.
So if you can run for school board, run for school board. If you can work at the poll, work at the poll.
Yeah.
If you can go, you know, knock on just the doors on your street for a candidate, mm-hmm. go do that.
Yeah.
If everybody did that, we'd see a transformation in this country. And I think a real political healing, too, in many ways.
Well, and a yeah. lot of people don't want to get involved. I talked to a wonderful lady. I know her well. And over the weekend, I had this conversation with her. And she said, you know, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of this and a lot of that mm-hmm. because, you know, well, Trump won, and I just want to relish in the fact that we've got somebody in office that cares, and, you know, he's going to do a wonderful job, and I just don't want the negativity.
Uh-huh.
And while I understand that,
sure.
okay, I didn't scold her, but I did say, hey, you know— he could certainly use your help.
Yeah.
Look at the senators and the people that's already fighting him. He fought his own party for 2 years, mm-hmm. his first term.
Yes, he did.
As much as he did the Communist uh-huh. Party.
Yep.
And, you know, and I think that we're headed right back down that same road. How much can he accomplish? And to where, okay, we made the election too big to rig.
Mm-hmm.
What about us now, considering instead of letting up on the gas, push it down a little farther,
that's right.
and we start contacting these people, like the idiot senator in Alaska that voted against Pete Hegseth,
right?
Okay, the idiot woman that voted against him that's from Maine, mm-hmm. okay, and God help us, that the idiot that used to be the head of the Senate. You know, Mitch McConnell, he voted against him.
Of course he did. Yeah.
You know, because yeah. they're at best rhinos,
yeah.
okay? But what are we going to do about that?
That's right, yeah.
And so we need to be putting pressure. And if I'm not mistaken, all three of them are up for re-election at 2026. I did not have a chance to double-check that, but I know that he is, okay? And he's from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing is I'm sitting down on X— and I'm figuring out all of the people in charge of the RNC, the governor, the head of the RNC national-wise, the uh-huh. co-chair, right. and I'm sending them messages saying, hey, we deserve better.
Right.
And I'm sending the governor of Alaska and Maine and Kentucky emails saying, we deserve better.
Yeah.
You need to get your act together and get these lousy people out of office.
Yeah.
Okay? So unless us Americans are willing to step up and do our part,
that's right,
and get involved,
yeah,
you know, good guys like you, you're in here and getting involved, but we've got to do something.
We do have to do something. I mean, there's never a day that this war is won. You know, liberty and freedom require a constant pursuit
mm-hmm.
and constant securing of it.
Right.
And I get how every human being, I think, since the beginning of humans, has said, now I'm going to rest.
Yeah.
Right? I've done this, now I'm going to rest. And that's okay, but you can't rest very long because the people coming to take those things, they're not resting.
No.
They are in their pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk a lot about, you know, national politics. We talk about the Senate. We talk about the House. We don't spend enough time talking about local politics.
You're right.
It is what affects you the most.
Yeah.
It's what you can really affect to. Some of these races, school board, you don't need a ton of money to win. There's not many voters you got to go talk to. You know, so if we had people, you know, good patriots that were saying, I'm going, you know, I've done this part of my life now, I'm going to try this one time. I promise you, I've run for office, it's not going to kill you. It'd get close, but
yeah.
it's not going to kill you.
Right.
And you'll get to learn your community really well. And at the end of the day, you'll have a good experience either way.
Mm-hmm.
But you might just win. And it might come down to a really important decision that lays on your shoulders. Mm. And so, yeah, we need local involvement. I mean, more than anything, we need local involvement. I personally believe the federal government's beyond repair. I think we can maybe get some things that make it a little better. But I feel like the apparatus is so big that, you know, hey, we might get 4 years of good. Eventually somebody comes in, you know, 10, 20 years down the road. But local politics, local nullification, the ability to take care of your own community and your own people and your own church and your own state and your own backyard, we can handle that.
I don't know if you two follow PragerU.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. They've got a video, and they've got and I printed out the transcript to it. It's entitled something like, "Is Government Too Big to Fix?" Mm. And I'm marching along with you. I'm right mm-hmm. beside you on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we can fix this. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But we can give it our best shot that
That's
we
right.
possibly can. And I think that the reason that I know that one of the reasons that I'm on the air doing this podcast is because of my grandson.
Right.
And my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm 65, August to be 66. What do I got? 10 more years, 15 most,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm gone.
Right.
You know, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. My wife don't like to hear me say that, you know. But you know, my days are numbered. You know, I'm on the downhill slide here. Not trying to say I'm halfway in the grave, but I'm
that's right,
you know,
yeah.
getting closer.
You're
to
aware
it.
Of your mortality.
You know? Well, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I don't think you're being a good Christian if you're not aware of your mortality, right?
Randy yeah. just got depressed because he's 1 year ahead of me. So he's like, "Well, crap, Larry."
Yeah. Well, you know. But you're right. I mean, the future generations require that we do these things for them. And I feel like we have a lot of people that are kind of selfish in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think decades of selfishness
right.
has kind of gotten us to this point.
Right.
You know, it wasn't me who set up a system that got us $36 trillion in debt.
That's right.
Just people before me.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't me that set up a system that allowed this military-industrial complex to continue forever wars that got us in $36 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
People before me did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to leave that kind of place for my kids and grandkids.
It wasn't me yeah. that started the Ukraine war and turned it into a money laundering machine.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I can't tell you how much flack I got about that. I ran for Congress in 2022. I was never going to win, did not run to win,
okay.
ran simply to message. And I can't tell you how many people, like, I got flack about that. And I was like, "You don't understand. This is not going to be anything but a money laundering operation."
Oh, exactly.
This is all this is.
Well.
You know, well, I was like, I'm not saying Putin's good or bad. I'm not saying, but I'm saying I know what our government does when you're not looking. And they're sending your money, and they're taking it for themselves.
I said yeah. it last, Randy, I said it last show, and I'll say it again this time.
Yeah.
It's sad that America's in such shape that I believe Putin when he speaks before I do our government.
Isn't that it's an interesting sort of observation.
Now, feel free, push back. Tell me how wrong and bad I really am.
Well,
but that's my opinion.
I just, again, we've gotten to a place where just everyone seems to be lying.
Yeah.
Right? And uh-huh. and that's kind of what made me want to do this election commissioner thing. I just got tired of the lies. I'm sitting there in person. Here is fundamental black and white proof, admission. You could not get any more proof.
Right.
And even in light of that,
yeah.
you said, "Oh, we're going to certify
yeah.
it."
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, that is, how do you stand and witness that
uh-huh.
and don't do anything about it?
Our yeah. government's so corrupt, we give these preconditioned...
Indulgences.
Yeah, indulgences.
We're sold indulgences. Yeah. yeah, pardons for crimes you haven't
I'm
committed.
Still wanting to buy a six-pack of those from Amazon. I still am. I want some. I've been Mr. Goody Goody Two-Shoes all my life.
Crusades 2.0.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I'm ready. I want a six-pack of them.
Yeah.
Well, so here, you know, speaking of Putin, okay?
Sure.
Here is... Putin over here saying, "Hey, you guys pardon Fauci, but ship him over here. I'll take care of him.
Wow. Yeah.
I want to slap his butt on a plane wow. and send him to Putin and see what happens."
Yeah.
Wow.
He'll put him out in the town square and flog him and
he
everything
will.
Else.
I will join you in the thought that that sounds great in my first thought. My second thought is, does this set a precedent? And my third thought is, if it sets a precedent, who's the person I hate the most in politics and what would they do with that precedent? And I think, I don't know if I like Americans, even
oh,
if
man.
I don't like them being sent to another country as a bargaining chip, even if I don't like
you,
them.
You had you know? Me going with you because I thought he was going to say, "Who's the second person we yeah, can send?"
I know I did.
Too. I was going to say Cheney.
You know, we got to be, I mean, again, we have to be careful.
I understand.
We have to be careful. We
I
saw,
understand.
You know, Trump, we saw lawfare used against Trump. We saw what happened when unjust powers
Absolutely.
Were wielded by people.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is you get rid of the unjust powers,
mm-hmm.
you don't double down on them. Sometimes you have to for a band aid.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, though, that's probably not happening. But even in light of my philosophical idealism, would I still be kind of happy if it happened? Yeah. I mean, it would be. I'd be like, yeah, if anybody deserves to get sent to a Russian gulag, it's probably Fauci. So, yeah.
It's kind of like the kid, remember 20, 30 years ago that went to China and spray painted the car?
Singapore.
And they caned him?
Singapore. Mm-hmm. It was Singapore. Yeah.
It's like, I think it was Jeff Foxworthy said, I'd have bought a cane and put over his bedroom door and said, boy, you either mind me once he got home or, hey, I got a cane.
Yeah.
And I went and bought two of them, put one over my daughter's bedroom door and my son's.
Golly, I remember that. That was years ago. I was in middle school or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cane the crap out of them.
Yeah.
You know, don't spare the rod. So anyway, so I had a thought and I had a senior moment and I lost it. Randy, you got anything while I try to recover from that? Because it was a good thought too. And now I'm missing it.
Yeah. It's your age.
It really is. Yeah. That's the one foot in the grave.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not thinking anymore, man.
It's okay. It happens at 42 also.
Does it really?
Yeah, it sure does.
Well,
yeah.
Well, wait till you're 65, almost 66. You'll forget that you forgot. So you're going to do the kind of clean up the roles. Is that part of your job?
No, it's not. So,
so some of the things that I read about in Mississippi
are left for the legislature.
Okay.
So let's paint a real quick picture for the voter of Arkansas, how we got to where we are voting law-wise.
Okay.
There was a little act in 1964. There might have been a cultural movement in America during that time, right? And in 1964, a lot of states enacted universal voter registration laws. They, set some wrongs right. And we passed a constitutional amendment in Arkansas. I think it's Amendment 51 that established our voting system as it stands now.
Okay.
It's declared the Secretary of State like the chief of that, and then it created a state board and it created county boards. And inside that, there's some laws and some framework. Now, some of it's very nebulous, I'll be quite honest. Some of it is left for wide interpretation, but some of it's not. And so the state boards have then created their own rulemaking process, right? And that's the kind of the administration of this. Cleaning up the rolls, that happens between the DFA and the county clerk's office in any county, but the Secretary of State ultimately is responsible for that. So we could have something at the Secretary of State level out of this, and because he has, our new Secretary of State, Cole Jester, has called for, and I think rightly so, a top-down review of our election integrity in the state, which I really welcome because we had not seen that before. And so he could do something. He could make a better change to that system because we've had some problems. We had 60,000 voters drop off the rolls. Something happened with the DFA. It didn't talk to these people over here. The commission doesn't do that. Again, I'm the first umpire in the game.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not the rules commission. I'm not the owner of the league. I'm not even the player. Right? We're the first umpire. But we can call it the right way. And we can make sure that we're observing the rules as they're supposed to be
observed. And your main job is to know the rule, and then you've got to call the rule exactly the way it is, whether you like the rule or not.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. It's not up for the interpretation. But I do know this. The law, Title VII, makes it a felony in Arkansas to fraudulently certify an election. Now, why would the makers of this law say that a fraudulent certification was a felony if they really expected that people were just going to rubber stamp everything? To me, I read that law and I go, they expected discernment from people. They expected people to weigh this when it came down to this and go, what did we see? What has happened? What is proven? And can we make a determination right now that is in the will of the people and reflects their voice? We had time to review this. We had time to uncover it. We had time to investigate it. And in light of all that, that commission, 2-1, said no, let's just certify it. And that to me is wrong.
This dawned on me just the other day driving down the road. I think it was on the way back from Texas. I think that the founding fathers were the most brilliant men that's probably ever walked this earth.
They're certainly close, yes.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, they thought of things that I have no idea how they thought of. Mm-hmm. But I honestly believe that I uncovered their biggest mistake. They bought into the idea that human beings, men that would run this country, would always be dealing with a man of integrity. Mm. They had no idea how divorced we would be from morals and integrity and character.
Yeah.
And some of the loopholes that we're now seeing is because they didn't think of that. Because back during their time, integrity was everything.
It was everything. And You speak about this, and this is really important too. It's been said that liberty and virtue arise mutually. And I don't mean, what that means is virtue, responsibility is the other side of liberty, right? Which is consequences. We've done our best to create a consequence-free society for people.
Yes, we have.
Right? You know, kick the man out the house. Don't worry about it. We'll make sure your kid gets fed.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about having kids and treating them good so they can take care of you in your old age. We'll take care of you in your old age.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, you made some bad investment decisions. We'll make sure that you're taken care of. Right? And so you've taken this responsibility from people piece by piece by piece.
Yes.
And the effect of that is, of course, less liberty, but also less virtue.
Yeah.
It's just what happens in a society. And we are that place right now.
And folks, I would hate to let a show go by that I didn't bring this up.
Okay.
But this is the very reason that we need term limits.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt. We don't have people of integrity. We have people that break the rules, break the laws, rewrite the laws, ignore the laws, do everything that they can and mm-hmm. want to do to better themselves mm-hmm. over our country, and they're in office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm constantly preaching term limits, because mm-hmm. if we can't have people with integrity and character in office, we need to throttle them back with term limits.
Yeah.
I say again, two terms, they're 4-year terms, get it done or get out.
Yeah. And again, the founding fathers never expected these to be jobs, right?
Oh.
The idea was that you were going to make a sacrifice. Like you had to travel from Virginia up here.
Yeah.
You had to travel from here.
Oh, yeah.
Like this was not something someone really wanted to
do. Exactly.
It was almost like they reluctantly pushed into it.
Right.
And no, we've gotten the opposite now.
Yeah.
Where people would just make a nest in D.C. and we'll lay in it
career
and suck up all
politicians.
The money. That's right, yeah.
Multi-millionaires that are sitting there getting rich off of big pharma, mm-hmm. getting rich off of all the lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you listen to the show, folks, you'll know we've covered it all. So,
yeah.
Michael, congratulations
well, thank you.
On your new position. We wish you well. We'll obviously have you back on the show
Thank
because
you.
You're such a show-off, even though you're bigger than we are. And no, I'm not letting go of that. So, hey, folks, see you next week.
See you next time.
Have a
Take
good
care.
One.